Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, at the 12th hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 15, 2017, or let's Chislu 28, 2020, when we will start our first service today with a song entitled Ascend the Light. As a calm comes ringing o'er the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore, forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore, forevermore. Evermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And thus the light spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore, forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore, forevermore.
Part 3, here you are, Rod, and who hath appointed it. We're going to start with Exodus chapter 8 today. It says, And Yahweh spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith Yahweh, Let my people go, that they may serve me. If thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the rivers shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people. And for all thy servants, Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs from the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Yahweh that they may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Yahweh. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants? And for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the river only. And he said tomorrow, and he said, be it according unto thy word, and thou mayest know that there is none like unto Yahweh or Elohim, and the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people, they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto Yahweh because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. Yahweh did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the field. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. So when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as Yahweh had said. Yahweh said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Asia. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of Yahweh. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as Yahweh had said. And Yahweh said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, though he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith Yahweh, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses. And the house of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, no swarms of the flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Yahweh in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And Yahweh did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarms of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your Yahweh in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Yahweh Elohim. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahweh Elohim as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to Yahweh your Elohim in the wilderness only. Ye shall not go very far away and treat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat to Yahweh that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow, and let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more, and not letting the people go to sacrifice to Yahweh. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yahweh. And Yahweh did according unto the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh. From his servants and from his people there remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, and neither would he let the people go. Okay, that ends chapter 8. What are we learning here? We're learning that Yahweh stretched out his rod, Aaron stretched out the rod as he was commanded. That rod represents Yahweh's government in the earth. So today, the rod that speaks would be the rod that we are representing today. It's the antitype of Aaron's rod, Moses' rod, and in the form of the message. Well, what happened? Moses only commanded, Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out the rod and speak the word, and I will back it up. I will enforce it. So same thing today. We speak the word from the rod of his mouth, and Yahweh will back it up. There's no difference today than the antitype than it was in the type. Let's continue on now with the ninth chapter of Exodus. And Yahweh said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Now today this translates into the antitypical Moses going in unto antitypical Pharaoh and demanding it's time for the 144,000 to come forth. This is where we're at, folks. And so, Yahweh works in mysterious ways as wonders to perform. We are to understand type and antitype. And it was introduced to us by V.T. Hallef, type and antitype. Rhodes Johnson interpreted type and antitype. He said where there is no type, there is no truth. And so, Yahweh tells me that I have the position now of Moses, because this is where we're at. And he said, my birthday on January the 22nd of 2018, according to world time, I will be 80 years old. So, Yahweh told me when I was 75 years old that that represented Abraham coming out of Ur of the Chaldees into a land that I showed you. So, I recognize that as playing the part of Abraham. And then, 80 years old, he told me that I will be, it will be time for the antitypical deliverance of the children of Israel. It will come at a prophetic time, like a jubilee time. 2017 is a jubilee year. And that's the year we're in now. That means deliverance. And I'm turning 80 years old here in this jubilee year, because in January is still 2017 as far as real time. And I will turn 80 years old in 2017. And And Yahweh has given me the full-blown message now of the antitypical Exodus that is pointed out here in Isaiah 11. He's given me the full vision on this. Not the full vision, but he's given me the beginning of it. And it says in Exodus 11, he said, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Okay. Well, the stem of Jesse reached all the way up to 2002-2003 at Gilead Center, the father of David. Jesse is represents and symbol of the Adventist Church, the father of David. In other words, the Adventist Church, they produced the shepherd rod in 1930. That's a symbol of the rod that we are now using to represent Yahweh's government in the earth. And this rod now that we have in our hand today will deliver first the 144,000 of the Adventist Church. So since we have Isaiah 11 as a present tense prophecy now for us here in the 12th hour, and it says, and there shall come forth a rod, and we're dealing with the rod that speaks out of the stem of Jesse. Well, I came out of Jesse. I was born in Jesse in 1938, when the Adventist was in the 10th hour. Their first prophetic hour that they were given to work in was the 10th hour. They were called at the end of the 9th hour, 1844, but they worked in the 10th hour. And the 10th hour was parabolically, it was from 1844 up to 1970, So, I was born in 38 in the midst of that 10th hour, and I grew up in the Adventist church, and Jesse was my representation. And then I was introduced to the rod during Jesse's period, 1948. Didn't accept it, but I was introduced to it. I accepted it in 1970, at the time that the rod period was closing out and over with for the 40-year period. And then in 1970, I accepted the Isaac Branch message that came out of the rod by the brother W. Johnson. And that's what it says right here. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. Ironically enough, when I met Brother Johnson in 1970, I had entered into my 33rd year. 33 years. That was the beginning of my 33rd year when I met him. Technically, I was 32 years old, but when you follow the true reckoning of time, I was in my 33rd year when I met Brother Johnson. And the Spirit says here in Isaiah 11, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And so Jesse, the son of Jesse, as far as the Adventist commission, their commission was the whole period of the first phase of the judgment that started in 1844, Daniel 9, 10, and 11, where it said the judgment was set, the books were open. And the ancient days came and did set. And they started the judgment of the dead. That was identified. The first phase of the judgment. In our day. The second phase is the judgment of the living. That's the period we're in now. But the first phase was controlled by Jesse. Jesse had the first phase, the Adventist, from 1844 up to 2002. And all they had was the three angels' messages to go with that first phase of the judgment. That's all they had. Because they were only judging the dead that had gone on before they had their names in the Lamb's Book of Life from the Garden of Eden, clear up to 1844. And so all was necessary at that time was the three angels' messages for the Adventist. The three angels' messages benefited the Millerites from 1833 to 1844, only that it produced the prophecy of the closing, bringing to fulfillment the 2300-day prophecy. That's what the three angels were for to do. And what did they do? The three angels applied to the Millerite movement and connected up to the Adventist movement. But what was the message to the Millerite movement? And what was their message that they brought to the Adventists? Babylon is fallen. First it says, the hour of his judgment is come. Revelation 14. First angel's message. Second angel, the Babylon is fallen. And that message sounded in 1843 to wake the Adventists up. We had a prophetic event that is right there on the scene. And so, the third angel sounded and said, don't take the mark of the beast. So don't go back and take the mark of the beast. So it told the Adventists, don't you go back now, because Babylon is fallen. Don't you go back. So they advance into the Sabbath, advance into the feeding pasture of Bashan for Israel. So the first three feeding pastures showed up for Israel in 1844, Bashan being the first one. Okay? And so this is where Jesse began, the father of David. And when his sister started writing and the birth of the testimonies in 1850, that marked the beginning of the first 40-year period of Moses' life in the Antioch, 1850 to 1890. Now that was the time, the first 40-year period of Moses in the tent. He was in the palace of the king. He was under the he was under the authority of Pharaoh's government. And even though he spent his first 12 years with his mother and her house, but they were in Egypt. See, Moses and their parents, they lived in Egypt under Pharaoh's rule. So, Pharaoh sent out a decree that he's going to kill all the boys born in Egypt at that time. And Moses' mother hid him in the Nile, put him in a basket, and hid him. And Pharaoh's daughter came down to the Nile River to take a bath, and she found Moses, retrieved him, and then Moses' sister, Miriam, she ran to, she asked the daughter of Pharaoh, can I find a mother to nurse him? And she says, yes, go get a mother to nurse him. And so that's how Moses ended up being cared for by his parents for 12 years. And then at the age of 12, he had to go to Pharaoh. He had to go and live in the palace to be groomed for as a prince to be a ruler in Egypt one day. Moses could have very well ended up being a Pharaoh of Egypt if he had agreed to be adopted into the Egyptian family. And but said Moses, at the end of his 40 years there in the palace of the king, he chose rather to suffer the affliction with his people than to enjoy the fresh parts of Egypt for a season with Pharaoh. So he rejected Pharaoh's offer to groom him to be a powerful ruler in Egypt. Yahweh had other plans. Moses be a powerful ruler in Israel. And so today, 1890, when Jones and Wagner message came to the Adventists with Righteousness by Faith, and Sister White endorsed it and told the people to accept their message and believe them, because they had a new light to add to the three angels' messages. So apparently that was the fourth angel, if it had the new light, because there's five angels to be taught altogether in Revelation 14. So apparently in 1890 they had the fourth angel show up, and that was a sealing angel, Revelation 7, to be taught, to start teaching it. Well, it was rejected, so Adventists went into a 40-year spiritual fast. And Ezekiel 4 brings that out. And so Moses then had to flee into Midian, the wilderness of Midian, where he married the daughter of a Midian priest named Jethro. And so Moses spent 40 years herding sheep with a scepter, with a rod. They called it the shepherd's rod. Okay? So that 40-year anatypical period of Moses was from 1890 to 1930 in our time. And the Adventist indeed, the Sister White says, unless you make use of the light already given, there will be no more new light come to you from my pen. And all as Sister White was saying, that I will not give you the message of the latter rain of the fourth and fifth angel, that is to join the three angels' messages, because you haven't made use of the three angels' messages, and so therefore you'll get no more light on the angels than their message that they have to follow, in other words, the fourth and fifth angel. And so, but those angels came down, those fourth and fifth angels came down in 1890, because Sister White said, yeah, they came, they were rejected, said they folded their wings, went back to heaven with her. But they said, and they will come again and be rejected again by the majority, but they will stay this time and do their work. They came back in 1930. They were again rejected by the majority. Vitihadas brought the fourth and fifth angel's message. Again, to be taught. Start with the fourth angel. And Vitihadas started teaching the sealing of the fourth angel. He started teaching the glory of the fifth angel of Revelation 18. That's all he did. He wrote all that Yahweh told him to write and put it in volumes of books. But nevertheless, he didn't have the fulfillment of that fourth and fifth angel. He just only had the projection of their work and their message and what their message represented. And so it was rejected by the majority of the Adventists again. But it did come back in 1930. And then from 1970 came along, after the 40-year period of the rod, and Yahweh advanced the message, the fourth and fifth angel with Brother W. Johnson. Well, it was rejected again by the majority of who? The Seventh-day Adventists and the Davidian Seventh-day Adventists of the Shepherd Rod. They 99.9% rejected. Brother Johnson only came into the Isaac Branch movement at Gilead Center in 1970 with just his family, a few members of his family, not all, and two or three stragglers of strangers within his gate. And another family, my wife and her parents came along, and two or three other families followed all right with Brother Johnson, but they're all dead and gone. They all died along the way. And so, there's again, the message was rejected by the majority. Well, when we come to the end of Gilead Center, and incidentally, from 1930 to 1970, that was the third period, antitypically, of Moses' life with the children of Israel in the wilderness. That was all laid down and published and taught by the different prophets. And so, and then, incidentally, the children of Israel had a 40-year period after they came out of the wilderness back in Moses' day under Joshua. They came out under Joshua, the wilderness, and went into the land, and they had a 40-year period in the land of Israel until they fell away in the promised land unto their enemies because he wouldn't purge them out. So that 40-year period in the Antitype was from 1970 to 2010. True, Brother Johnson thought we was going to go into the land of Israel during his time with Gilead Center, 1974, but it didn't happen. But he did know that here in Texas, headquarters for the line of the South Country, the Shepherd Rod, Brother Johnson was in the wilderness of the people. He was in the wilderness. Yahweh took him out of hill country where he lived, where he wanted to stay, and told him to go back home to the desert, where he was raised up. And that's where he would teach him what he is to know out in the desert, the wilderness. And then if he would excel and succeed, then he would bring him out of the desert back into the hill country, and this is where we are right here today, and hill countries antithetically of Judea. Okay? So it says, and it shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of Israel. Well, we know what happened. The third phase of this year, three members of this family tree of Israel, the branch, which represents Yahshua in the message, was conducted, now is conducted by antitypical David, that represents the rod that speaks. So where are we at then? The rod that speaks is the rod of David, and the rod of Aaron, and the rod of Moses. Moses, Aaron, David, they were all shepherds. They all had rods. They all used them according to Yahweh's plan for them as symbols of Yahweh's government. Well, today, Elijah David is using that rod that Aaron, Moses, and David did to deliver Israel with. This is where we're at today, folks. This is, the subject is deep, and it's almost unfathomable to reckon, but we're still going to deal with Jesse today, and typical Moses period now, for the deliverance fulfilling Isaiah 11 is for 2018. So now, having said all that, I'm going to go back now to Exodus chapter 9, and I'm going to pick up on verse 1 again. Then the Yahweh said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. So if this holds true, the General Conference president today of the Seventh-day Adventists would represent antitypical Pharaoh that knows not the Pharaoh, not the Elohim of Joseph. The first Pharaoh that Joseph was under in Egypt knew Yahweh. But this Pharaoh today, at the end of Egypt's sojourn in Egypt, did not know Yahweh. And they put him under servitude, slavery. Whereas the Pharaoh under Egypt delivered them and gave them a special place in Egypt and gave them their freedom, and they flourished. But the Pharaoh that knew not Joseph's Yahweh, they reversed all of that. Well, that's what's happened today. The General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, the antitypical Pharaoh, has reversed everything that the Adventists stood for in their beginning in 1844. So it says in Exodus chapter 9, verse 2, For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of Yahweh is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep, there shall be a very grievous murrain. So Yahweh is going to test the Israel, spiritual Israel today again. He's going to tell them, and the president of the General Conference, start teaching Yahweh's government and not the government of the Catholic Church, because that's who the General Conference president represents to the Adventists, is the Catholic Church and their false doctrine. Or I'm going to take away all these things from you and the Adventist people. And I'm going to bring all these plagues upon them, just like I brought them upon Egypt. So in Exodus 9, verse 4, it says, And Yahweh shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is in the land of the children of Israel. And Yahweh appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow Yahweh shall do this thing in the land. And Yahweh did that thing on the morrow. And all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And Yahweh said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man, upon beast, throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it upon up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man, upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Pharaoh because of the boil, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians.
Could not stand before Moses.
And the magicians could not stand before the Moses because of the boil, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, and the Yahweh had. As Yahweh had spoken unto Moses, And the Yahweh said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before the Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews, that my people go that they may serve me, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Now here we are right today. This here, Exodus 9, verse 16, applies right today to us here, the antitypical Moses. Again, we're in the antitypical Moses period of the deliverance of the second Exodus that is pointed out there in Isaiah 11. This is in very deed, verse 16. Again, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power. So Yahweh indeed has raised me up to show in thee my power. And Yahweh put a straw on my heart the other day. He says, I've raised you up, and says, you're going to reckon with this nation where we're at today, the United States. I raised you up here in this United States of America. You have a work to do here, and you're going to do the same kind of work that Moses was called to do, that David was called to do. So this applies to us right now. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. You see that? And that my name. Well, Adventists are not declaring his name, because they won't have nothing to do with his sacred name, Yahweh Elohim, Yahushua, the Son. They won't have nothing to do with him. Rulis wouldn't have nothing to do, very little to do with him. And he had every evidence that he was supposed to have everything to do with the sacred name. He was given the sacred Bible, the Yahweh Bible, in 1969. My wife now, Catherine, was the one that gave it to him, because she had been introduced to the Yahweh's name when she got married to her first husband. She was introduced to the sacred name by the very preacher that married them. They were Yahweh people. And so my wife had prepared, when she came back after her husband's death, and she came back to Texas and joined Brother Johnson, she brought the sacred Bible with her. She said, here, you need this. And so Brother Johnson said, yeah. So he was told to restore all divine institutions, and the sacred name was one of them. So that's where Brother Johnson, tongue-in-cheek, restored the sacred name, but he, in his heart, he didn't believe it, that he should start using it right then and there. And it was only after my wife and I, over 30 years later, started using it prominently at Gilead Center, did Brother Johnson half-heartedly try to start using it. And then he wouldn't spell them right, and he wouldn't pronounce them right. And then when he did pronounce them halfway right, he would always end up with Lord or God or Jesus at the end of those sacred names that he tried to pronounce. And so he just created a controversy there by not fully declaring Yahweh's name. And I'm going to read to you again now, Exodus 9:16. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up. And this verse in 1970 applied to Brother Johnson. Whoever he raised up in their time period, this verse applies to them. This verse applied to V.T. Hallett in 1930. And in very deed for this cause have I raised up for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Okay. So now, over here in the New Testament, Romans 9:17, Paul is talking to these Roman Gentiles, and look what he tells them here in Romans 9:17. He says, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So, isn't this amazing? Now you go to Zephaniah, and you read the prophecy on Zephaniah's prophecy, chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, and it says, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdom, to pour upon them a mine any nation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured of the fire of my jealousy. And then verse 9, Zephaniah 3. For then will I turn unto the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Yahweh to serve him with the one consent. Call upon the name. What is his name? Well, David hit on it there in Psalm 68. That's the only time that the sacred name is recorded in the Scriptures. It's in Psalm 68 by David. He called it Yah, Y-A-H. So that's the first part of Yahweh. And so David called it Yah. There in Psalm 60, I believe it's Psalm 68. Let me go and see if I can find it right quick. It says, we're in Psalm 67, verse 4. It says, sing unto Yahweh, sing praises unto his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah. Well, they spell it J-A-H here, but we know that J took the place of the original letter Y, which is the way it's supposed to be spelled, but at least they got within one letter of spelling it right here in the Scripture of the King James. He says, sing unto Yahweh, sing praises unto his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Well, that's what they were required to do. That's what they were required to do there. And Exodus 9. Like I said, we're in the antitype of all of this. So I'm read verse 16 once again. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. You cannot display Yahweh's power. You cannot invoke his power without invoking his sacred name. The two go together. In his name will he execute his judgments upon all. And through his name. It has to be the sacred name. He will not recognize those pagan titles of Lord God and Jesus. He won't recognize it. Yahshua won't recognize it. By the heathen. And so those that continue to use those pagan titles to address our Heavenly Father and His Son, they are powerless. They will never receive the power to execute anything that represents righteousness. Okay, now in Exodus 9:17, as yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of Yahweh among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regardeth not the word of Yahweh left his servants and his cattle in the field. And Yahweh said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that thou may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven. Here's that rod. And Yahweh sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. And Yahweh rained hail upon the land of Egypt. And there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. For Texas is designated as the antitypical land of Goshen today, in the midst of the spiritual land of Egypt. Okay? And this is where we are. We are in the spiritual land of Goshen. That's why we have Yahweh's protection all around us. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. Yahweh is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Now this is going to happen again. The General Conference of Presidents of Seventh-day Adventists, when Yahweh gets through raining all these plagues upon the Seventh-day Adventist Church, then the General Conference President of the Seventh-day Adventists is going to say, unto antitypical Moses, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Yahweh is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Yahweh, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Yahweh, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is Yahweh's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Yahweh Elohim, and the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was boiled. But the flax is boll, B-O-L-L-E-D. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the cities of Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Yahweh. And the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go as Yahweh had spoken by Moses. Okay, that ends Exodus chapter 9. We're just going to continue right on with our story in Exodus chapter 10. And Yahweh said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show thee my signs before him. So what's Yahweh going to do? He's going to harden the General Conference President of the Seventh-day Adventists today. He's going to harden his heart. And the hearts of his servants, his officers, and all the ministers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, he's going to harden their hearts. For Yahweh's going to bring a severe test upon the Adventists and their leadership. Today, he's going to bring these plagues on them, just like he did down in Egypt. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my son, the which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Yahweh. Okay. Now in Exodus 12, 26 and 27, it talks about this. It says, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is a sacrifice of Yahweh's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel and Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. Alright, back to Exodus chapter 10, verse 3. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast. And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen, since the day that they were upon the earth until this day. And he turned himself and went out to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go that they may serve the Yahweh the Elohim. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go, serve the Yahweh Elohim. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go. For we must hold a feast unto Yahweh. And he said unto them, let the Yahweh be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it. For evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Yahweh, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And Yahweh said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and Yahweh brought an east wind upon the land of Egypt, of all that day, upon the land all that day, and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. And the locust went up over all the land of Egypt, and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they before them. There were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be said. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees, or in the herbs of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Yahweh your Elohim and against you. Okay, now, so General Conference President, he's gonna call us in one day, this antithetical Moses and Aaron again. So apparently I'm supposed to have someone with me, be like my brother, like Aaron was to Moses. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Yahweh Elohim that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yahweh, and Yahweh turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts, and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. But Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Yahweh said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, and that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve Yahweh, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto Yahweh the Elohim. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve Yahweh Elohim, and we know not with what we must serve Yahweh until we come thither. But Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto them, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou mayest seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. So, in Hebrews 11:27, over in the New Testament, Paul is talking about to those Hebrew Gentiles, and what is Paul saying to them? He says that in Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Okay. So, that's Paul talking about that. There in the New Testament. Well, it says that's the end of Exodus chapter 10, and we are at the end of our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour calling us number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close now with a song. I lead you to the rock that is higher than I, by the Elijah Davis, a song that I've written. I lead you to the rock that is higher than I. I'll forever be. And then it to the sound of everyone who set me free. Oh, the life in this world I have to live is but a city stone. Oh, the great heights I have to attend, never down a road. Lead me to the rock, oh, lead me to the rock, into the rock that's far away. Lead me to the place that the sages speak, lead me to your natural sky. Come here, lady, for the witness of men.
Lord, lead me to the mount, lead me to the rock that's high and high, lead me to the place of the sandwich too, lead me to the mountain in the sky. Don't leave me in the desert, barren and dry. Rather, lead me to the fountain that never runs dry. Lead me to the rock that's silent now. Lead me to the rock, Lord, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's silent now. Lead me to the place of the Savior's feet. Lead me to the mansions in the sky.
Oh yes, lead me to those mansions in the sky.